Our topic today is, and this is a biggie, why Jesus? Meaning, in not why Jesus, but why Jesus? Meaning, in a world with so many religious views, in a world with so many worldviews, why is Jesus the answer? Okay? And I'm going to open with two verses, and this first one's pretty cool. You know, Peter and John, when they were disciples, and Peter was always a little bit jealous of John, right? And Peter's wide open, crazy wild, and John was always quiet, tame, and loving. They were like polar opposites, but they both loved Jesus so much. Well, after Jesus passed, guess who was hanging out? After he passed and resurrected and took off, Peter and John are hanging out, and they just healed this guy at the temple, and the whole world goes nuts over, how did you heal this guy? Why did you heal this guy? And so they say, hey, we did it, Peter and John together, we did it through Jesus. So they get arrested because they mentioned Jesus' name. And the next day they're brought before a group of people to talk about what they did and why they did it. And it's so awesome because they were brought before the high priest of the Pharisees, past and present. They were brought before the assembly that killed Jesus, the assembly that brought Jesus in that morning to give him a fake trial and commit him to death. Annas and Caiaphas. And so this is who Peter is talking to in Acts. I don't have it up there. Acts 4:10. This is Peter talking. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Now he's speaking to the high priest, one of the most powerful religious people of his time. Whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He very clearly, in the face of the people who killed Jesus, said, you know that guy you killed? That guy that was raised by God? That's the name that the whole world is saved by and no one else. The Bible doesn't make bones about it. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the class? Life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, so the Bible is really clear about that, okay? But the Bible is only one of many religious books. And how many of you have heard comments such as, we talked about it downstairs today, actually. Whatever religion works for you, as long as you believe it with all your heart, that's okay. Because there's many ways to God, and any religion will lead you to him. How many of you have heard that? It is like the prevalent theme today. There are new religions popping up that are all embracing of all other religions. Because they say every way leads to God. Whatever you decide, whether it's atheism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Wicca, Christianity, whatever you believe, if it works for you, that's okay, because we all believe in one God anyway. And then you hear questions that stem from that, that oftentimes say, okay, I'm all right with there being a God. What I'm not all right with is how you emphatically say that God has to be Jesus. How many of you have heard people say that? I've had people visit this church, and they're good people, and they mean well sometimes, and sometimes they don't. And they'll tell me very clearly, coming to the church, yeah, I'm searching, yeah, I believe there's a God, but I get offended, literally, they've told me this, when you tell me that Jesus is the only God. So some people say all religions are okay. Some people say, well, there is only one God, but don't tell me it's Jesus Christ. So I guess, honestly, there's one part of that process that's valid, and that is you need to know what you believe is true. You can't just go around believing something because your parents did, or because it's the religion of the good old U.S. of A., or because it makes you happy. You need to know why you believe what you believe. So if you want to tell me, yeah, I believe there's a God, but I don't know that that's Jesus, that's just fine. As long as you are objectively seeking to find out if that's the truth. But if you say that and you don't ever really try to find out who that God is because you're just using it as an excuse to not really follow any God, now I've got a problem with you. And I'll tell you this, there are some people that really don't know. And honestly, some of the things that you see about Jesus Christ and Christianity on TV and on the air today would make me sick enough that if I didn't know the deep truth, I wouldn't want anything to do with it, right? But there are also people, and I want you to get this, because this is the majority of them, honestly, and maybe even some people in this room, you're not sure. Many people that say, I believe there's a God, but I don't believe you can narrow it down to any one God. I don't believe you can say Jesus Christ is the way. That person, if they go no further than that, and that's their choice for a worldview, that person has decided they want a big old fat pacifier. And they want just enough religion to feel good, but they don't want to stem it down to any one single truth. Because if you have truth, truth always brings something with it. Listen to me. If you get real truth, truth always brings with it relevance. If there is a truth that comes into your life, then you better believe that that truth is going to somehow affect you and bring relevance to your life. And some people would prefer not to ever have truth, because if I have a truth and that truth tells me by some chance that Jesus is the way, he's the only way, and that the Creator actually has a face and has a purpose and has a reason, and he's bigger than I am, then that means what do I have to do with my life? It means I'm no longer master. I'm no longer in control. I no longer do anything I want and then just put a blank religious stamp on it that says, yeah, I believe in God, but I won't be accountable to any one given personality of God, because then that would mean I would have to relate to my Creator. And I would prefer to say that all things lead to God and God's just love, and then I can do what I want and I can get the stamp of religion on me. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Many people will never seek the truth with all their heart because they don't want to narrow it down to a possible truth and then have to be accountable. It brings relevance to your life. So, I really believe that's where a vast majority of people are in this world today. And the Christian church has turned many in the progressive movement in the Christian church have turned to, yeah, we are just one of many ways, and yeah, we need to change our way of thinking, and they've just dropped every accountability to Jesus Christ there is. So let me ask you a question. What if I were to tell you, hey, there's this beautiful RAV4 out in the parking lot. Beautiful red, brand new RAV4. And I were to give you 20 different potential ways that that RAV4 was created. And I want you to just choose any one of them you want. If I said, hey, that RAV4 out there, I'm going to give you 20 different stories about how it was created and how it got there. I want you to pick the one that makes you feel good. Would that change the fact, listen to me, would that change the fact of how that RAV4 was originated and that it had one origin and that it came from a very specific time at a very specific factory and very specific people put it together? And if you know anything about Toyota, every person that put their hand on it, there's some way, shape, form, or fashion that your number or your stamp is going on it, and they're going to know you did it. So if I gave you 20 different reasons that RAV4 is sitting out there, I don't give a hoot how many reasons I gave you or how many of you voted on how many different origins that car might have. How many did it really have? One. And you can peg it down anything. Now, that's a dumb illustration. No, it's not. Listen to me. No, it's not. It's that simple. That's why I want you to see it. Anything that exists had an origin. If it had an origin, it only had one. There weren't multiple origins for something. So when you dig down to the base truth of anything that has an origin, how many did it have? One. So if I say, well, just believe anything that works for you, and as long as you believe it, that's okay. What am I telling you? A flat out, straight, satanic lie from hell. Because no, that's not truth. Whatever you want to believe, that's just great. It works for you until you pass. And then there's only one truth, period. The universe had one origin. I don't care how many things you want to come up with or how many things you want to believe to make yourself feel good. So it makes me sick to my stomach to think, believe any religion, believe any origin you want. If it works for you, that's all that matters, because one day we're all going to find out what the truth was. And as long as you're being sold that lie right now, you won't search for the truth. But you know why you won't? Because in order to believe that lie, it means you're free to make your own reality. And that's what we all want anyway. Because a God that had this much power, this much complexity, this much creativity to be the creator. And the universe screams, look at us, look how complex we are. Do you think that this design, this complexity, did not have a purpose and a reason and a blueprint? Do you think there wasn't an incredible, imaginative, powerful creator behind a body that works like ours? Do you think there was no purpose behind your creation and everything around you that functions beautifully? Everything screams that there is a creator. But if there's a creator, then you're bound to be able to know him. Wouldn't you think that that creation is known by the creator? Wouldn't you think that creation has his imprint on it? Wouldn't you think that creator would somehow reveal himself to the creation? And he does, unmistakably, for those that will look. But we don't want to look, because as long as we don't put a face and a name with the creator, we can decide to make it anything we want as long as it works for us. And that's why people get offended when we say Jesus Christ is the one, the creator. And you say, well, that's pretty exclusive. Well, do you think Islam is exclusive? Do you think all the other religions of the world exclusively say they're right? Yes. But somebody is right, period. Somebody is right. It's not okay to just believe what you want. So what you got to do is look deep and see, what is the one true story? What is the one place and the one time and the one designer of the universe? There has to be an answer. And that answer will affect everything that you do in life. So it's imperative that you decide once and for all, yes, it is Jesus, or no, it's not. But this junk of buying whatever works for you, you just need to let that go. And you just need to realize the stupidity of it. All right. And people say, well, all religions are alike. No. By their own admissions, all religions are fundamentally different in major ways with superficial similarities. Did you get that? All religions are nothing alike. They have very different fundamental worldviews and origins. They are nothing alike. They have similarities. If you ask someone in Islam, how will they get to heaven? It's they will weigh their bad with their good, right? If you ask someone who's a Hindu, how will you get to heaven? It's, well, I'm not going to get to heaven. I'm going to reach perfection, and it's going to be rebirth after rebirth, and I'll get better, and I'll get better. And if you buy that story, then why don't you tell me, after how many generations we lived supposedly getting better and better spiritually, while we're at the worst pits of hell as a society we've ever been? Doesn't look like we went the right way. We should probably all be turning back into lower levels of life, because we're not going the right way with our karma, right? It's very logical with the evidence that we have at hand. And this is what's so beautiful. Our science today has caught up with the fact that there is no possible mathematical way that we are an accident. Some scientists will admit that and some will not. But there's just no possible way this kind of design is by chance. So it's very logical with evidence at hand that there was one credible source of creation. And I want to ask you, have you really studied to know why that one credible source has to be Jesus Christ? Because if you haven't and you're believing him blindly, then you're just as guilty. And you might not even have real faith. You need to know why you believe what you believe. Because if Jesus Christ is real, then everything in his creation will have his fingerprints on it, right? You don't have to fear that. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through and answer the very, very real, very understandable question with so many religions in the world: why do you have to say it's Jesus? Why? And if I didn't believe it with all my heart, then I would go to the religion that's right, because I want to be right. I just don't want to feel good because Jesus is so awesome. So this is a legitimate question, and I want you and I to have the answer. Now, here's the deal. This could go on for weeks and weeks and weeks. So we're not here to talk about all the other religions in comparison, because we can never get through it all. We're not here to disrespect all the other religions. What we're here to do is talk specifically about Jesus Christ and give you enough information about him to realize there is so much truth here, there's no possible way anything could stand beside him. That's what we plan to do. And I'm going to give you so much in a short time, because I'm not going to dig deep into each detail like we often do. I want to throw it all at you. You get a piece of all of it, and whatever you want to go and research, please do it. Because you exhaust anything that gets thrown at you today to the end result, and you'll find Jesus. Okay? But these will be things that you can reflect back on. And what do you give as an answer if somebody comes to you and says, why does Jesus have to be the answer? Why can't everybody else work? Why do you not realize that maybe Islam is right? I had a person at work, I kid you not, some of you may have heard me say this, I've only said it once. I said to a person at work, but I wasn't talking directly to them, I was talking to another person. And I was talking about the millennium and how in the millennium, 1,000 years of peace, and in heaven, it seems that all the animals go back to their original nature, and they're all kind again, and we can be near them, and we can enjoy them. And I said, man, if that's the case, I hope that I get to have a lion to live with me as my pet. I've always wanted one of these big cats. And this person, not jokingly, they were completely appalled and offended. And they said, you are so arrogant. Why do you even think that you are the highest level of creature on earth and that heaven was designed for you? Maybe that lion is the highest creature on earth and heaven will be his and he'll have you as a pet when he gets there. I'm like, well, the first Bible of the lions tells me that's so. So, and I go to all their religious services and I roar with them. So I'm hoping to fit in. But this person, with no hint of truth, no hint of origin, no hint of why they believed it, just because it didn't fit them having to have a worldview that wasn't agreeing with them, literally said, I'm offended that you would think that the lion's not better than you, and you would have the audacity and arrogance to think that you could have a pet lion instead of he could have a pet human. You just want to kind of turn your head like the RCA dog and just, give me a hug. I don't know what to do with you, you know. So why? Why do I know that Jesus is the way and the lions don't get it? We're going to find out. Our focus is going to be simple and powerful and logical and overwhelmingly decisive. And I don't hesitate to tell you that. I really don't. And if you'll listen, you will agree. Okay? First, I want you to look at this. We're going to jump into the evidence now. You ready? Say amen. Amen. Louder. Amen. Woohoo! All right, you're with me. Every other religion that I know of is based upon following great teachings or proper behavior, okay? It balances the good and the bad. It balances the karma. There's continual progressive cycles of righteousness. Christianity alone, are you listening? Listen. Christianity alone is entirely accepted or rejected based solely upon what you do with one person, and that one person is an historical, provable person, not someone that was a myth, okay? Christianity is the only religion based on what you do with a single person, not based on how you live according to a set of laws or moral codes. And this is what I want to give you. Oh, if you'll listen, all of you have heard some pieces of this. None of you have heard all of what we're about to say. And we're going to put it all together in one package, and then you research what you need to, okay? This one historical figure, Jesus. People even attack that. Listen to me. People even attack the fact of whether Jesus was real or he was just a myth created by previous religions. That is so far from grasping reality that it's not funny. Because Jesus Christ has been proven and recorded in Greek and in Roman and in Jewish history of every type by many different people for different reasons, some because they loved him, some because they hated his guts. But he is a very real historical figure. And in those historical writings, Greek, Roman, and Jewish, listen to me, this is the beginning of us building our pyramid, okay? Why Jesus? These historical writings give us the time of his birth, his life events. They give us miracles that he performed. Even secular people that hated him talk about the miracles he performed, his method and his time of death, and the fact even that he resurrected. All in historical writings, number one. Number two, this is why he's different from every other religion. Okay, you know, all the other religions either have a living leader or a dead leader. None of them have a living leader that died and is living again. But number two, this historical figure written about by at least three different cultures that give every aspect of his life, this historical figure also had all of these details that we can confirm through history written about him in books that we can prove were written hundreds of years before he was born. Great detail that he could not control. one piece at a time, scattered throughout different writers at different times, all coming true in one person in one moment of time. So he's historical, written about in different cultures. He has prophecies written about him. No one else of any religion has hundreds of things written about them by multiple authors that all came true in one person in one moment of time. None. We already have enough. And these writings that were about him were written by many. Listen to me. I want you to grasp all of this. Some of you have never heard it. Some of you have heard some of this, but not all. These writings that told about him hundreds of years, even thousands of years before he came, and gave great detail that we can read about in history, these writings were from many people, from many places, who held many different positions, at many different social levels, and at different times. As a matter of fact, the people that wrote about Jesus Christ, now tell me there's any other book in history that's religious that has this to brag about. Listen to me. The people that wrote about Jesus Christ spanned 1,600 years of writing, 40 different people, most of which never knew each other and lived at different times, spanning three continents and multiple cultures. Yet they all wrote about the same person, and each one gave bits and pieces of details of his life that all came true at one time in one person, most of which he couldn't have controlled. You want to tell me that any other religion has that? Every other religion was one time, one place, one or two authors, and they still can't agree, and they still have difficulties writing truths. But you take one book that was written over 1,600 years, three continents, 40 authors, and tell me there's not something different. And then you take those writings that have pieces scattered all throughout them that you have to pull together that very specifically talk about one man that came into written, recorded history, and it all came true in that one man. And you want to tell me God's not trying to tell you something and not putting his fingerprints all over it? Why, Jesus? Look at the evidence so far. And then you look at this fact. Of all the books and all the writings, we have 100% proof that his word has been kept provably accurate because, and I'm throwing this out there for those of you that have never heard it and going fast, and I want you to research it. I guarantee you, promise you, you'll find what I'm telling you. There are over 24,600 ancient manuscripts of Scripture written in multiple languages all over the world. So many more than the second runner-up that they're not even comparable. And if you want to say you don't have integrity when you read the word today, then you would have to find somebody in the ancient times that could drive around and get 24,600 handwritten manuscripts of every different language and change every one of them to suit them. Because I can go to this country and this country and this country and this time and this time and this time, and guess what they all say? The same thing. Because it exploded so quickly and went out so far into so many languages, it was God's way of designing perfect accountability. No one can change the word because you would have to change every copy of every culture, and you can't do it, so nobody could touch it. And what we have today is what they wrote back then. So God wrote it in an incredible way. He documented everything that happened with his one man in history, and he made sure that everything that he wrote in an incredible way was provable to us that it's exactly what was written. Is there any other book that can hold accountable to that yet? Why, Jesus? Next, that ancient book that started some 3,400 years ago. Did you get that? Listen to me. The book started some 3,400 years ago, and today, with all that we know, historically, archaeologically, scientifically, and medically, we've not been able to prove one thing wrong. Did you get that? Do you realize that other books that were written by one person in one time, just a few hundred years ago, we can already find historical and scientific inaccuracies? No one has been able to disprove one thing the Bible has said, even though it began authorship 3,400 years ago. You want to tell me God's fingerprint's not on that? And now put it back together again. 40 different authors of different walks, from slave to king to prophet, and yet none of them said anything that was scientifically, medically, archaeologically, or historically incorrect that we can find over millions of people of all different walks of life and all degrees scrutinizing to find one thing, and we've not found it. Can you find any other book in history that can tell you that? No. Why, Jesus? He's got a pretty good track record so far. Jesus, when he came on earth and he did what he did and he died horrifically and he arose again, caused those living in his day to leave. I want you to get this. This is so powerful for those of you who've never heard me talk about this. The people that saw, literally saw Jesus, okay, live, die, and resurrect, had a perfectly beautiful religion that they had followed for thousands of years, had a happy cultural life, socially, and something made them, by the thousands, finally by the tens of thousands through the first century, leave a very credible, very valid, very happy religion, leave a social structure that was just fine, and be tortured and lose their property and watch their children tortured and be put in prison and be killed over something that they saw with their own eyes. Now, if I looked back 1,000 years and believed with all my heart that it happened, but I didn't get to see it, and I died for that, what I thought to be truth, that's really good, but it says nothing because I'm dying for what I hope is truth, right? But if I today see somebody die and stay in the grave and I don't see them resurrect, and I let you take all three of my sons and my wife and kill us torturously and steal our property when I know that man didn't come out of the grave, how dumb am I? Now, a few might do it, but when you get to thousands and then tens of thousands that saw it, that were there, that talked to people that saw it, they're all within one generation of either seeing it or knowing someone that did, and you will die a torturous death, then there is no way out of it. Something happened. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll die for something that happened back then that I hope is true, but I saw it. I will not die for it if it's not true when I have a perfectly good life. No other religion in the world has people torturously dying by the thousands who were eyewitnesses of a fact as big as Jesus Christ. And it goes on through the years. Literally, we know, according to secular news today, there is not another group of people in history that have had more martyrs than Christians. Since the time of Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, there's over 70 million that have died that we know of that we can report, probably many more. And today, this day, more people will die today because they're a Christian than any other racial group or religious group known on earth. To this day, more people are dying because of their Christian beliefs as they have since the day Jesus Christ was born than any other. Not to mention the millions of Jews that have been attempted to be exterminated by every country in the world since Jesus' time. You want to tell me that the Jews who are his chosen people and the Christians who chose to follow him, being the two most targeted groups in history since Jesus was born, doesn't tell you something about the truth of who Jesus is? And then we've got to look at this. Jesus had a 3.5-year ministry. He didn't own a house. He didn't own a church. He didn't have an official ministry. He never wrote a book. He was a poor pauper who walked around for just 3.5 years in a country that was owned by the Romans. And having never written a single book, Jesus Christ affected every aspect of this world. Listen to me. I want you to fathom this. 3.5 years of a ministry in an occupied land by a poor person who never owned anything and never wrote a single book and never even had an official ministry. And he's changed the morality and the laws and the governmental structure and even the stinking calendar by which every country in this world writes a date on a piece of paper have all been affected by a man who ministered for 3.5 years, 2,000 years ago, and owned nothing. But you want to tell me there's nothing to this Jesus? Think about what I just said. Why Jesus? Everything that I've spoken to you so far is surpassingly efficient to show you why Jesus is the only way. You answer this question for yourself. Is there anything comparable to that list that I've just given you? And that is far, far, far from exhaustive. Anything. If you just walk in objectively and you wanted truth and you heard what you just heard, would it not knock you off of your feet? But well beyond all that evidence, I want to look at the truest reason why Jesus has to be the only one. And this is where I begin to enjoy my job the most. Of all of the other gods and all the other religions and all the prophets that men have conjured up through the ages that require performance and ritual and self-denial, don't you think the God that created a universe with such beauty and such intrigue and such capacity to experience joy and fellowship and love, would want to be part of his creation, would want to share in those attributes? Do you think a God would work this hard to create such intricate beauty and design and put such a capacity for love and joy and meaning and need for reason and existence and need for relationship with the one who created us? Do you think all of that would be implanted in us by a creator and then he would choose not to even show up or put his face or his name on anything on creation? Does that make any sense at all? Or do you think something this intricately, beautifully designed in power and majesty, do you not think that that creator would want to communicate himself to those whom he created? Listen to me. Only my Jesus, who had the power to shape the universe and melt the elements of creation with just a word, only my Jesus, who is so far from our thoughts, so high above our thoughts that we can't fathom it, would lay aside every attribute of godhood and take on my nature and step into my history so he could feel my pain and my hopelessness and my despair and my lostness. You want me to tell you why my Jesus has to be the only one? Because every other religion has a pious God looking down on us that doesn't seem to match the beauty and the joy and the awesomeness of creation at all. Only out of all of these man-made gods, only Jesus comes down and loves me so much that he becomes a part of me, becomes a part of who I am, gives up everything he is as God and becomes part of his creation in order to show that creation love. Do you think that doesn't separate Jesus from every other God? What I don't understand is why people are so stinking angry about Jesus being the only way, like it's offensive. If you look at Jesus versus any other religion in the world, why would you not want Jesus instead? Hebrews 4, 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Jesus is the only God that you can come boldly to because he, on purpose, came to feel everything you felt in love for you so that when you come to speak to him, he can honestly say in tears, I understand. There is no other religion in the world that can touch that. He is different on all counts. And my Jesus, who created the farthest reaches of heaven, listen to this, just a couple, and I could go through this all day, but I want you to grasp this, so please stop thinking about whatever else you're thinking about and just focus for a second. The God who created the farthest reaches of the universe, who knows what's going on 93 billion light years away from here, was heartbroken about a little old punk of a man who was all alone and broken physically, because his sin had driven everyone away. His sin has brought him physical problems before God. And Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, happened to see him all alone, knowing he had no one. And one lost, broken down, angry, bitter soul, Jesus Christ was broken over and went to him secretly and said, "Do you want to be healed?" Healed him secretly and then rejoiced with him and said, "Don't sin anymore. Something worse could happen." Didn't do it for show. Didn't do it to prove anything to anybody. But the creator of the universe that knows all 7 billion people living on this earth, when he was in the flesh, saw one broken man that brought it upon himself and had to go to him and love on him. That, my friend, is the only God that I would ever want to worship. Does any other God man-made on this earth compare to that? Would you not think that the God that created the universe and all of its splendor would have that mentality? And my Jesus, who sees all the worries of the world and knows everything we've done and knows everything that you and I deserve, went when Mary and Martha lost their brother, and even though he knew what was going to happen, he could not stand to see the pain in their hearts that death and sin brought. And he wept uncontrollably. And he got furious because of what sin had brought to the world. And he screamed, "Take me to him now, because I have to remove your pain." That is how close the creator of the universe is with his creation. There is no other God that would be that heartbroken when we're heartbroken. That is what separates my Jesus from anything you could read about anyone in any other religion. You put all of that with all of the objective, concrete, unstoppable evidence that I've given you on the flip side, and you find something so beautiful, so provable, so different that it's almost too good to believe, but it has to be true. My Jesus, how many of you have ever walked 80 miles? My Jesus came down in the flesh and through the hot Middle Eastern sun walked 80 miles to meet one loose, promiscuous, rejected woman who was so, she had nothing or nobody in her own people. And the people that Jesus was with, the Hebrews, hated them even more. And he walked 80 miles to and from, over, to meet this one woman that nobody cared about, and the man she was living with only wanted her for sex. He wouldn't even marry her. He, as God of the whole universe, walked 80 miles to heal this one woman's heart. That is my Jesus. He is so different. My Jesus loved and touched and healed and broke bread with every sick and every socially dirty person he ever knew. And when he walked the streets, everybody would come to him because of the joy and the acceptance that sparked in his eyes. No piousness, no high and mighty, although he should have been. No other religion reflects that. And my Jesus chose to live dirt poor and in the humiliation every day of his life of being called a fatherless bastard with no education from a poor hick town who amounted to nobody but a blue-collar carpenter. He didn't just come to earth. He didn't just take flesh. He became from day one the worst of the worst to be made fun of and ridiculed every day of his life only to die as a worm in the end. And you want to tell me that the story of Jesus Christ isn't a little different? But do you know what the world will do with this truth? They'll take Jesus and make him a high and mighty, pious, "I hate you, you're different, I don't accept you, I don't love you, bow before me, follow my rules or I'll burn you and send you to hell." They take this and turn it into what I just told you, and no one reads to find out the truth. My Jesus didn't just tell us how we need to jump through the hoops and what we better do to make our scales balance and what it means to walk righteously. My Jesus showed us true love instead of telling us about it, instead of demanding it, instead of holding us to it, he said, let me come and let me show you what true love looks like. Let me show you what total, unconditional, sacrificial love really looks like, even though you spit in my face and hated my guts. And while we nailed him to a cross, he, showing us what real love was, said to the Father, forgive them. They don't have any idea what they're doing to me. Just love them, Father. Forgive them. Does that sound like any other religion in the world? Let me tell you what's different. You get so used to this, you don't realize. You compare this to any other man-made religion that tells you what you better do. And if the scales tip even a half inch the wrong way, you're gone, buddy. And instead, my God has, he says, no, you can't make it. Here's what I want to do. I want to guarantee that no matter what you've done, what you will do, I want you to know guaranteed you can be with me. And God hung between heaven and earth and died for you and I. Let it sink in. With the feeling in his heart at death that the Father, the angels, that men, that no one loved or believed in him. And he had to have the feeling of, I will die alone and forsaken. The God of the universe allowed himself to come to that level for you and I so that we would never have to worry about anything but a guarantee that we'll get acceptance and joy when we stand before him. How unfathomably different is that from any other man-made God in the history of mankind? You put that with all of the other objective truths that I've given you today, and you see why Jesus is the only way. I think that is how a true maker and lover of mankind would act, don't you? And listen to this. Let's flip it around. If there was no Jesus, if the other man-made religions were right and Jesus wasn't the way, then the world would never have a reason to worship God for any reason other than he's bigger, he's more powerful, he's supreme, and he can make you. Not because you feel loved, not because you feel worth anything, not because he did so much for you and total passion for you that you feel compelled to do for him, but you got to worship just because he's bigger than you are. And the world would never, if there was not a Jesus, the world would never have the chance to look at whomever they thought was God. They would never get to see his face, his attributes, his character, his true tender love. Because Jesus came so that we could see and feel the face and the attributes and the character of God. No other religion did that. And the world would have no chance. If you did something, just like I met that girl I told you guys a little while back, the world would have no chance if you committed one big sin in your life. You screwed up one time in a crime of passion, and now you'll never outweigh the bad with the good. You're done. You'd never have a chance if it wasn't for Jesus. You'd never have a chance if you started too late in your life so that you could never do enough good to outweigh all the bad that you've done. You'd never have a hope. You'd amount to nothing in front of any other God but Jesus. And the world would never see real love acted out. They would only hear about the rules and regulations they needed to jump through. They would never see love sacrificed. They would never see Jesus Christ as the purest example of what it's like to love passionately. Long story short, only Jesus. Listen to this. I want you to remember this. Only Jesus is rooted firmly in history. Only Jesus has astoundingly been prophesied about before he came into history and it all came true. Only Jesus had thousands die in testimony of his works that were eyewitnesses. Only Jesus had a book written about him like no other in a way that had to be supernatural and proven to be accurate to this day in ways that we cannot argue with. Only Jesus had more resistance from mankind and more martyrs in his name than any other religion on earth. Only Jesus changed an entire world with 3.5 years of ministry in a backwoods village called Nazareth. Only Jesus came to his creation and lived the life that he wanted us to live and died to show us what sacrifice was. Only Jesus gave everything that came with Godhood to save his creation. Hands down, Jesus is the only way and he's the only true God. Philippians 2:9. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I want to read this one to you. It's so beautiful and so perfect. Psalm 86:8. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you've made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Let me give you this. Listen, if Jesus Christ were not the only way, and if Allah was real, and if Buddhism was real, and if the Hindus had a way that we could follow, and if everything else could be proven to be just as real as Jesus Christ, listen to me. There is no other God that I would follow. There is no other God that would deserve my allegiance like Jesus Christ. None. Anything that you compare Jesus Christ to, hands down, when you learn the true essence of who he is, there's no one you would even look at. You put that truth of whom he is and what he's done with all of the proof that I've given you that what he said is real, and it ought to be the best news that you have ever heard in your life, and you ought to stumble all over yourself to give yourself to the one who did create the universe and just happens to be that awesome and humble and sacrificially loving and passionate about you. And you should have the joy of knowing in your heart through everything, just what I've told you today that you can research for yourself. There cannot be any other way or any other person that could possibly be the origin or the savior of the universe. It's not just another way. There has to be a truth. And everything behind Jesus Christ says he has to be that truth. And it ought to be the most wonderful epiphany that you've ever had. And if you just can hear what I have said alone today, and it's all you ever heard about Jesus Christ, if it doesn't bring a change in your heart, it's simply because you don't want it. My Jesus Christ is worth your everything because he, as God and creator, has already given you his everything. Do you truly live as though you know that Jesus is the way? And if you don't, and you've come to a realization today, what are you going to do about it? If you haven't given your heart to him, what else do you possibly have to hear? And if you've been following haphazardly, lukewarm, and you get hit in the face with what you've heard today and it doesn't bring you back to boiling kettle, burning hot for Jesus, then you just need to face the facts that you are lukewarm and it means that you don't belong to him, and why don't you just go on out of here and live your lukewarm life as happy as you can? Because he deserves all or nothing, and he is real, and he is the only way. and those that have never heard of him. Scriptures say, and this is for another time and another place, but I have to close with this. Scriptures say there will be some from every tongue, every tribe, every race in heaven, which, yes, means that some people have never heard of Jesus Christ. But God says, I will judge you justly based on the truth that you had in your heart where you were. And we'll leave that to God to judge justly. But you have heard and you do know. So what will you do with it? He is so worthy. He is so awesome. It ought to be the greatest news in the world for you to hear that someone like Jesus Christ holds the keys to the universe in your heart. Let's stand for prayer.